Praise the Lord. Now, I never thought about living from monarch to monarch, but I sure enjoy the last few years, every meeting's been getting better. Really, this meeting here has been at the top. And I thank the Lord for this wonderful meeting, the message that's gone forth, the Spirit of the Lord has been here so prevalent and so sweet and so rich in my heart and other hearts. Well, I just thank the Lord for it. I'm just so happy. I'm blessed. I just have a wonderful thought on my heart. I just pray the Lord will bless it to our good. My subject is spiritual blessings. You know, it's a wonderful thing to really experience spiritual blessings. Now, we have lots of natural blessings, physical blessings, material blessings and all, but the spiritual blessings is what we want to really get a hold of. And I just would that somehow I would be able to influence our young people more, some way that they might get a contact and experience the wonderful spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1, what has our text? Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we have a list here. I've kind of made it out of these spiritual blessings, and I'd like to just go over them. Can't spend a whole lot of time on each one, but take too long, but anyway, I just want to bring up to our minds spiritual blessings. The first one I want to mention is the spiritual birth. Praise the Lord. John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except this man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, he didn't know anything about spiritual things, seemed like. He just turned and said, well, how can a man be born again when he is old? He enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born? He didn't realize Jesus was talking about something spiritual. But I want to tell you, dear ones, it's a wonderful thing to experience a new birth, a spiritual birth. Brother Gordon, you know what I'm talking about. I've heard him tell about how the Lord blessed him. And I tell you, dear one, it's a wonderful thing to be born from above. In our text, it says born again, but the word again in the Greek means born from above. It's a spiritual birth. We are born one time in the flesh. We're naturally born of our mother and father, but here is a spiritual birth, a new life coming in, a spiritual life. Have you experienced it? Now, there are many people that can get religious and talk a lot, but that don't mean anything. It means something to be born from above, a spiritual birth. So that's the first one we want to make mention of, John 3, 1 to 8, and then John 4, 6 to 14. Do I need that thing?
Yeah, there, it's for recording. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. On. Well, I'd get by without putting that on, but I guess. What do I do with this? Just set it up, or in my pocket?
Yeah.
Will it go in my pocket?
Go in your pocket, or you can clip it on your belt.
All right, now then, in John 4, 6 to 14, we have Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and he presents to her two different spiritual things. John 4, and 6, Jacob's well was there, where Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answering said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would give thee living water. Now, this woman has no knowledge about the spiritual things. You know, that's a sad thing. Many people today, they are totally ignorant and unaware of the spiritual realities and the spiritual blessings that we can have. And he said about this water, well, she says, where are you going to get it? You don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus answered in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, for the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. That's a spiritual water, a spiritual well. Have you drunk of it? Have you drunk of this? Have you drunk of this spiritual water? I have, thank the Lord. I have drunk of it, and it satisfies my whole soul, my whole being. Praise God for the spiritual water. It just flows. Water is a wonderful thing. We have a well about 45 miles north and to the west of our place, an artesian well that flows all the time, a big stream of water out of a pipe, about like that. And it's just wonderful water. It's been doing it for over 50 years. And it is a big sheet of water up there. Up north of there, there is a fish hatchery. And then to the east of it, there used to be a place where they opened up and washed out these big, long semi-trailers, you know. And that it's just water, water, water. It's wonderful. That's where we go get our drinking water. And every now and then we'll go up there and get up about 45 or 50 gallons of water, and that's what we drink. That's literal water, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a miracle how God keeps that water going. You know, it really is. Some of you may have seen that. That is a wonderful thing. And they've got artesian wells, and we've got water here. We've got a pretty good well. Say, are we going to have to dig another well here? Anyway, well, I didn't know. I thought we had plenty of water. But anyway, thank the Lord. But I'm talking about spiritual water. Well, how do you get this spiritual water? It's the Holy Spirit coming down and filling your soul. It's spiritual water. Have you been drinking of it? Let me tell you something. If you've never drunk of spiritual water, I pity you. It's sad. You're missing out. And it's for you if you'll pray and seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness in your soul and blesses your soul and refreshes and renews and gives you the new birth, and you begin to live in the Spirit and you begin to pray and live above this world. Dear ones, that's the most wonderful thing you could ever have. Praise God. Then he also mentions spiritual worship. She mentions it to him first. She says in verse 19, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is come, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thank the Lord. Have you been able to worship God in the spirit in this meeting? This has been a spiritual worship. That's where you're, as you sing these songs, And as you get down on your knees to pray, the Spirit of the Lord inspires, comforts, and blesses, and your heart radiates up to Him, and you have fellowship, and you have a communion with God. Yes. That's worship. That's spiritual worship.
Yes, it is.
It's a worship in the heart, in the spirit, in the inner man. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm so glad that I have got into that in my life and experienced the wonderful blessing of spiritual worship. Oh, this is wonderful. Thank the Lord. We don't have to have a piano or an organ. We don't have to have that. It's all right to do that in your home and other places, and you can do that. That's fine. But when it comes to the real worship, the piano and the organ are of no value. When it comes to the spiritual worship now, you can worship God, and you don't have to know how to play or any kind of music. You can worship God in your spirit. And God can bless you, and God can fill you, and God can just really be real to you. Oh, thank the Lord. Spiritual worship. Spiritual birth. Spiritual water. Spiritual worship. It's real. It isn't imaginary. It's real. And it's more than just emotional. It is real spiritual reality in your heart. Then we have in John 5:24, we have spiritual life. Isn't it wonderful to be alive spiritually?
Yes.
In contact with God, you're alive naturally. You have your physical body, your physical life, but this is spiritual life.
Yes.
In your very soul, in your very innermost being, spiritual life. Verily I say unto you, he says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Praise the Lord. We have a song about that, don't we? And the hour is coming, he says, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Then he speaks about the last resurrection. This first one, well, hour is coming, and now is, and when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That is a spiritual resurrection. A resurrection from the dead state of sin. Have you had that? Have you experienced that? Oh, dear ones, it's a wonderful thing. I thank the Lord that I sought Him with all my heart as a young person, not quite 18 years old, and I prayed and sought Him and repented and gave up the world and sought Him with all my heart, and He resurrected me from the dead state of sin to a life for the Lord 53 years ago. Praise God. Oh, I'm so happy today. Spiritual bread. John 6 and 26. After Jesus had fed the multitude, the 5,000 men besides women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes, fed them and filled them and gathered up 12 baskets afterward. And then the next day they came seeking for him. They wanted to make him a king. They wanted to set him up on high because he fed us. You see how he fed us. But dear ones, he had something more to give to them than that old literal food. He said in verse 26, he said, verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat or the food that perishes, but for that meat which shall endure unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. with for him at God the Father sealed. And then on down in verse 31, the people said to him, said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. This sounds good. And then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, you also have seen me, and believe not. I'm not going to read it all, but you know what happened. These very people that wanted to make him a king got offended at him because of this bread of life, him telling about that, and they went off and didn't walk no more with him. They were ignorant of the true bread. And I wonder, in this bread-eating, meat-eating, flesh-eating society, do they know what the real bread of life is? Have you been eating on the bread of life today? Yes. Praise God. We've had a bountiful supply in this meeting. If you haven't got your share, it's your own fault. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Bread, spiritual bread. Now then, John 1 speaks about spiritual light. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad for spiritual light. I thank the light, Lord, for the light of the sun and for electric lights and all of that. But I'm glad most of all for spiritual light, illumination. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shone, but the darkness didn't stop the light. Oh, it's a spiritual light. This John said on the first day, what did he say? Let there be light. Was that the sun? No. The sun didn't come until the fourth day. That first day was spiritual light. Light for us. And he goes on down, and it said there was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He wants to light you. He wants to light your heart and mind. He wants to light you up. He wants the light of heaven to shine. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, there's so many scriptures on the light. It's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I thank God. Do you have spiritual light today? Are you walking in the light? Are you happy in the light? Are you glad for the light? Did you sense darkness? I sensed darkness when I was out in sin. Spiritual darkness. And it's not a good thing. It's bad. Darkness. But oh, when I found Jesus, the light broke forth. Praise the good Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Spiritual light. Spiritual kingdom. Praise the Lord. We're not in a literal kingdom with a literal king, but we're in a spiritual kingdom. Romans 14 and 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Listen, are you in this kingdom that will never pass away? Have you entered into it? You must be born again to get into the kingdom, as Jesus said. And then Jesus said in another place, I believe it's Luke 17, he said something about the disciples asked him when the kingdom of God would come, or some people asked him, but what his disciples? Anyway, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. For neither shall men say, lo here or lo there. For behold, what? The kingdom of God is within you. Praise the Lord. It's a spiritual kingdom. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Are you in the kingdom? Have you got the kingdom in you? Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for that song number 32. Oh, I've sung that down through the years. That's just a wonderful song about the kingdom of peace. It is reigning within. It shall ever increase in my soul. We possess it where? Right here. When he saves from all sin and will last while the ages shall roll. It's not a literal kingdom to be set up over in Palestine and the Holy Land like a lot of people think, but it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of peace. It's an inward kingdom, a kingdom in this heart and soul. Well, praise God. I'm thankful for this wonderful spiritual kingdom. Oh, bless the Lord. There's a lot more we can dwell on that. Now we have spiritual riches. Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you like this good old money we've got floating around in this world? Bad old money. It's not good old money. It's an awful, corrupt system that the world has got set up of money. And a lot of our money isn't worth hardly the paper it's printed on. It's just awful. I tell you, we got to have it. We got to have it to pay our bills and to get along. But I'll tell you, we've got to get our mind on spiritual riches. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read just a little bit about these spiritual riches. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, let's see here. Well, let's start at verse 9. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, the which while men have covered after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, what does he say? Flee these things. Flee the love of money. Flee all this material wealth, seeking for money and property and bank accounts and CDs and all this financial system. Flee it. We got to have it as we go along, but you don't set your heart on it. Here's what you want to set your heart on. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's what those are, spiritual values. Riches. Rich in faith and not rich in this world. It's all going to perish. Your bank accounts are going to perish. All these old banks. You think we're going to have banks in heaven? Woo! Absolutely not. We're not going to have no money in heaven, in glory. We won't even need it. Praise God. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money, it's a sham. It's a mess. The whole financial structure. How much is our nation in debt? Oh, pitiful. Trillions of dollars. I don't know who they're in debt to. I just hear it. I don't know what the deal is. But I'll tell you one thing. My heart's not set on that money. I have to have a little money, sure. And the Lord always provides what we need. But our hearts are not set on it. We found the spiritual riches. Faith. Oh, rich in faith. Well, that scripture says something about rich in faith. The poor of this world has found him rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which God hath provided for them that love him. Oh, dear ones, Aren't you glad for the spiritual riches? Do you want to be rich in this world? You want a nice, fine home? Well, thank the Lord. The Lord's blessed us with a lovely home. You want a nice, big, fine car? Well, thank the Lord. The Lord gives us a car to drive. But that's not our treasure. That's not our riches. Our riches are our experience with God, the privilege of prayer, the spiritual blessing coming to service and worshiping the Lord and feeling the Spirit of the Lord flowing from heart to heart. Oh, we don't want these old earthly riches. They're going to perish. Houses and lands and all these things are termite eaten and storms coming through and tearing them up and all these things. Dear ones, why should we set our heart? We've got to have them, yes. But dear ones, they're all going to perish. When you think about on the last great day, what's going to happen when the Lord comes, what's going to happen to all this material stuff? It's going to melt just like, boom, just like that. It's going to out of existence. Yeah, if you got your heart set on it, I pity you. Don't set your heart on money and wealth. Get your heart set on spiritual riches, faith, love. What did he say? Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Follow after meekness. The meek shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All these spiritual things, I'm so glad for them. They're real, dear ones. They're wonderful. Now let's think about spiritual beauty. You want to be nice looking and handsome and pretty on the outside? You want everybody to look at your nice wavy curly hair and your nice countenance and your pretty eyes? And you want to put on some rings and you want to put on some ear bobs and lipstick and roots and you want to look real nice to everybody? Bah. We got something better than that. Let's see what the Scripture says. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. You women, you sisters want to be real beautiful? You know, this is no little thing. This is a big thing in a young woman's mind. They want to be beautiful. They want to be pretty. And that's why the things of the world, the styles and fads and fashions and all these ornaments and rings and jewels and necklaces and all these things are so important. They want to be beautiful. You ought to read what Adam Clark has to say about it. 1 Timothy 2 9, it says, in like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Shamefacedness means covering up, not wanting to expose yourself. Shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or woven hair woven with ornaments and all, or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now listen, this isn't something just the saints have taught through the years. This is Bible. This is Bible. It isn't the saints that taught you shouldn't wear rings and jewels and all that. The Bible teaches it. The Apostle Paul taught this. It says here, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You know, modesty and plainness, a woman dressed in modesty and plainness, covering up her body and neat, and her hair not being cut and frilled and fried and baked and all that. No, just comb the hair, put it up in a nice way. I'll tell you, dear ones, it's a woman's hair is one of the things. Don't you touch my hair. Oh, Lord have mercy. You want to be modest. And I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you from a man's standpoint. A woman that is modest and godly and neat and plain and dressed like she should be, as the saints have taught down through the years, you've got a beautiful person. And it's a man's same way with a man. I don't have to have a big necktie on. Everybody look at my necktie. Don't have to have that. Somebody said about me one time, they said, he dresses the same way he dressed years ago. Why should I change? Why should I change? I dress just like I dressed when I was saved 53 years ago. I don't have to have a ring. I don't have to have ornaments and all the necktie and all that kind of stuff. I don't have to have it. I wouldn't want it. No, I want to be beautiful in godliness, in spiritual. Did you know that spiritual beauty will shine out in a person that's not so much beautiful in the outward, but if they've got spiritual beauty, it shines right out through the whole thing. That's right. You want to be beautiful in God's sight? Let's look at 1 Peter 3. He goes right along with the Apostle Paul. You wives, he said, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Oh, my Lord, help us today. Spiritual beauty. Do you want to really be beautiful? I heard about a young woman that's dying. She thought she was going to die that evening, and she wanted them to fix her hair so she would look pretty in the casket. Well, they fixed her hair real nice, but she didn't die that night. She lived until the next morning. So she said, you'll have to fix my hair again. So they fixed her hair, and they did. They said she did look beautiful in the casket. What does that amount to? What does that mean? What's that worth? Poor girl, I feel so sorry. Looks like somebody should have told her. Probably didn't even know. Did you know there's a lot of people in the world don't know one shred about what I'm talking about? They don't know anything about it. All they're thinking about is the outward beauty. You want to really be beautiful in God's sight? I want to be beautiful in God's sight. Inward spiritual beauty. Spiritual understanding. That's another spiritual thing. Ephesians chapter 1. May the Lord help us today. I don't know. I'm going to have to move on. I'd like to cover all of these things, but I'm going to have to cut down a little bit here. Ephesians 1. And Paul said in verse 16, he ceases not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. What does he want to know? What does he want you to know? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. He wants your understanding to get in on that. It isn't the big books and the colleges and the all this here in the world, the education that the world is trying to pump people's minds with. It's spiritual understanding. To know Christ. Do you know why Christ came? Do you know where he came from? Do you know what he accomplished? What was his mission when he came into the world? Do you know what kind of spirit he had? Do you know why he submitted to go to the death of the cross? We need to know what these things are, dear ones. In Philippians, the second chapter, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and made upon his the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Have you looked into that? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Oh, dear ones, do you know what it is? Has your eyes of your understanding being enlightened? Do you know what is the hope of his calling? Oh, dear ones, things are opening up to my mind more than ever before of what a blessed hope we have. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the First Peter. He talks about it. Oh, dear ones, Lord, help us today. Spiritual understanding, spiritual house. How is your spiritual house? 1 Peter chapter 2, built up with him a spiritual house. That's what we are. It isn't a literal house so much. We thank the Lord for our literal houses and all and places to live. But I'll tell you, dear ones, you don't want to get your heart set on them. Here is the house you want to work on, your spiritual house. Habitation of God through the Spirit. A place for God to dwell. Humility, faith, meekness, holiness, purity, righteousness, that God can dwell. That's the house that you want to keep up. Praise the Lord. You don't have to pay any taxes on it. And there's no upkeep on it literally, but there's upkeep on it spiritually day by day. Spiritual songs. Ephesians 5 and 19. You know, when I was unsaved, I liked to sing the old worldly song. I remember I used to sing Your Cheating Heart and Jambalaya and the Crawfish Pie and all these old worldly songs. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, I gave all that up. I gave all those worldly songs up. I didn't want to sing them no more. And the Lord began to fill my life with godly spiritual songs. And you'd be surprised. I'm not saying I have more than anybody else, but my mind and my heart is full of spiritual songs. And you talk about something that lifts you up. Listen, Ephesians 5 and 19. Speaking to yourselves. Let's read that verse before. Be not drunk with wine. Oh, glad. I never did have any problem with that. But I was drunk on a lot of other things. But it says, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He says about the same thing in Colossians 3:16. Spiritual songs. Now I want to give you a little idea of what a spiritual song is and what it'll do. We got a bunch of them right here. in our book. In fact, it's full of them. But I remember I've led the songs and sung the song down through the years, and I remember there was one brother at Guthrie years ago. He liked the number 156. And I tell you, he called that about every time. And I was leading the songs a lot of times, and boy, he just had a little lull in the song calling, and he'd come out, 156. And I got so that that song just about ground on me. I mean, I just, every time, I mean, just over and over, 156. There's a fountain open in the house of God. I'd go ahead and sing it, but I tell you, I got so tired of that. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. Until something happened one day. What do you think it was? The Spirit of God blessed my soul with that song. He inspired my heart with that song. He opened it up to my mind, the truth of that song. And now you can call it all you want to. It don't bother me anymore. There was another song, number 285. I had a problem with that song. Faith is believing. And it just seemed like somebody called that, and I thought, oh. The words were good, but the music, I just somehow I couldn't. Until one day, the Spirit of God blessed that song and opened it up to my mind. Now you can call it all you want to. And I can tell you about other songs that's been that way too. I thought about the song we sang this afternoon, I think, Blessed Assurance. That is a spiritual song. It come out in our paper, I believe it was at Guthrie. When we lived at Guthrie, anyway, wherever it was, it's somewhere, they had an article about churches and spiritual movements and you know, religious movements and things. And they had a writing from the minister of, it's supposed to be the oldest church in the United States, some church back east. And anyway, he made comment about some songs. And he says that song, Blessed Assurance, is so un... How was it he said it? It's so vague. Blessed Assurance. He just belittled it. Oh, my. That song has blessed me time and time again. It's a spiritual song written by Fanny Crosby. She wrote a lot of spiritual songs. I thank God for my songs and this Evening Light songbook. They're wonderful. They're blessed. I love to sing them with the saints of a congregation. I love to do that. They're spiritual songs. And I've noticed in this meeting, when we sing these songs, I've been noticing the message in each song. It's such a message, and I wonder, are we really getting the message of these songs? They're wonderful. Oh, spiritual songs. Spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. You know anything about spiritual strength? You know, you have physical strength, but that's fading out in our lives. We're not near as strong as we used to be. I don't even try to run anymore. I can't run. Oh, I could try, but it's not a very pleasant thing. My strength is fading. My mortal strength is fading. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 12? whenever he was buffeted with these thorn in the flesh and through the abundance of the revelations. And he was buffeted by the messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In other words, the trials, the hard places, the adversities, the rough things, the hard things, the bitter things that was working against him, it was a messenger of Satan, and the Lord permitted that. But he said, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. What did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm going to give you grace to bear these things. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what that means? You better learn. You're going to face the reality of it. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. In your hard places, in your difficult times that renders you weak and unable, my strength will take up for that and will make it. And he goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, what does it say? Then am I strong. In your weakness, I believe another place it says about people is out of their weakness, they were made strong. All right, we've got spiritual fruit. Galatians 5, what's the spiritual fruit that you want to bear? You know, can you name it? Can you recite it? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's spiritual fruit. Meekness. Better study on that one some. Meekness. What does it mean to be meek? It'll challenge you. To be meek, to be mild, to not take any offense, to not let yourself get hurt. Oh, I'll tell you what. You better work on that one. That's fruit God wants you to bear. Spiritual freedom. John 8. Jesus says about being free. What does he say? Well, we'll have to get it. Sometimes I can give it the quote, and other times I have to call it, look it up. John 8 and 31. Oh, I thank the Lord for the spiritual blessings. Jesus answered, Jesus said to those that the Jews believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What kind of freedom was he talking about? Oh, we want to be free from old Rome. We want to be free, a free nation again. That's not the kind of freedom that he was pointing them to. They answered and said, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Are you free? What does that one song say? I'm happy, redeemed, and free. Praise the Lord. Freedom. Spiritual cleansing. Hebrews 9, 11, 14. Spiritual rest. Here's one you could preach a whole message on. Hebrews 4, 1 to 3, and then 9 to 11. Hebrews, they're speaking about the rest of faith, not the literal Sabbath. But the rest of faith, the Sabbath rest of faith, ceasing from your own works. That's spiritual rest, spiritual Sonship, Romans 8. Spiritual Jew. I want to read this one here. I thank the Lord, Romans 2 and 28, that I am a Jew. Are you a Jew? Are you an Israelite? Romans 2 and 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Thank the Lord. It's wonderful that we can be a real spiritual Jew. Well, that's enough. There's so many other things. What did Jesus spoke about? Being spiritual sheep in the 10th chapter of John. And lots of other things. I thank the Lord for wonderful privilege to be transformed from the old carnal, fleshly, material, earthly, temporal realm into the realm of the Spirit. Praise God forever. Amen.